Hello, everyone, and welcome to another episode of Skydive Liberation. You're here with the Splash Bros. I'm Kyler.
I'm Jacob Patty.
We are here with Drew Beach, our audio engineer, and Mr. Farrell.
What's up?
And today we have a very, very special guest for you. We have Mr. Admiral Byrd. Say hi.
How's it going, everybody?
All right, Ryan Byrd here in the studio, guys. We're here at Sticks and Tone Studios here in the heart of Chattanooga, Tennessee.
Let me give a little introduction about Ryan. So,
Ryan.
I met Ryan. I didn't really meet him last summer, but he came over to pack for about like 2 weeks. Was that right?
That is correct.
Yeah, so he came over and packed for 2 weeks. I was impressed by how fast he was packing and how he was packing. It was really cool. I was just in the video room at that time, so we didn't really talk or know each other. But then I had heard a lot of stories about how fast he could pack and just that he might be coming back. And I heard that back in, like, November. And I was like, oh, fuck yeah, let's go. I can't wait to meet him. Can't wait to get out here. And then now he's out here in February. Mm-hmm. Finally came in, and he's packing. And he's got a lot of things coming up. So we just wanted to get you connected with him because he's an amazing guy and his... lots to tell you, a lot of stories.
Yeah, so we're going to get into that as we get further into the episode. So say hi to Ryan, guys.
Hi, Ryan.
Ryan, why don't you tell us a little bit about yourself and, you know, kind of where you're from, and then what got you into skydiving? When made you want to start skydiving? What was that first thought? You know, oh, okay, I want to skydive. What was that like?
All right. So, I'm originally from the Amarillo, Texas, and the good old Panhandle. Grew up, normal lifestyle, high school, little college education. But whenever I was about 15, I saw my uncle, he took his first skydive, and I watched the video, and I was like, I have to do this one day. And being my last name Byrd, I just felt like I was destined to always fly. I grew up with a lot of bird books around the family. For some reason, my parents were just like...
Birdman.
Birdman, pretty much. So it's in the blood. So going forward into actually wanting to skydive, so when I turned 18, I wanted to offer it to my whole family, take them on a skydive, and everybody said no except for my wonderful grandma. My grandma, she was 73 years old, and she was currently having heart problems at the time, and so she unfortunately said no, so I decided to hold it off for about another year. So come 2019, August 23rd, me and my grandma, we decided to take our little road trip and go to the skydiving company in Texas.
And she's how old at this point?
She was 73.
Ooh, wow.
She was 73. Okay, so me and my grandmother, we drove all the way down to Madisonville, Texas to go join up with the instructors that would faithfully be taking me and my grandmother on our first skydive. So we show up about 3 hours early, just thinking due to weather and trying to just get back home because we had just drove in 8 hours to get to the drop zone. Once we arrived there, I was accompanied by Tasha Hagam, who's
with us now here in Chattanooga.
Who is with her now with Chattanooga. She is an AFFI instructor. She's a videographer. She's just a great woman in general. She has a lot of powerful words to tell you and share, and she's also just a great person to be around. She has a lot of influence on me. And as far as now with my current skydiving career, she has been there from the very beginning, and she's taught me a lot of what I know now.
She kind of mentioned that to me, you know, when we had our poker night a couple weekends ago, or whenever it was, you know, her and I had a really good chat about how you were kind of like her baby, and we can get into that in a little bit.
pretty much.
But that was, you know, to hear it from her, like, that was a really, really cool story.
And she did nothing but talk about you.
Yeah, no, it was...
he was coming out. Oh, he's coming out.
Yeah, like, yeah, she was so excited when you were coming out, and she, like, was telling everybody, man, it was really cool, and we were all excited that you were coming and whatnot. So that was really cool, but I'll let you continue.
Yeah, so we show up to the drop zone, and I was introduced to my tandem instructor, who was Chris Hoops, and he was a great, phenomenal instructor, and the tandem instructor taking my grandmother was Cruzy Turks, another wonderful skydiver that I got to learn and learn some future things from in the future. So we load our way up to the plane, and unfortunately, the plane was on a angle of land, so we actually had to wait an extra 45 minutes just for the fuel to equal out.
What kind of plane was it?
It was a caravan.
Oh, that's a good one.
Caravan. It was a zebra. Zebra tail had just the whole zebra kind of paint and everything.
That's cool.
It would look really
That's
cool.
wild. All right.
Really cool. So I remember we go up in the plane. No one else was there. It was just me and my grandmother in the plane. So we had the whole plane to ourselves. And honestly, the whole flight up, it was nothing but your own thoughts. You know, Tasha was like, "Hey, are you ready to skydive?" And I was like, "Yeah, I'm ready to go skydive." Honestly, in the video, I just looked like the crazy kid that probably shouldn't be there. I was just there for the adrenaline.
Were you real nervous?
Honestly, I wasn't very nervous. I was so excited. I was ready to get in that plane, fly all the way up to altitude, and just jump out and just embrace and experience what it was really like to go into free fall and kind of be a part of the sky.
That's awesome. It's
what was it really like for you, that first tandem?
The moment we jumped out of the plane, it was nothing but pure bliss. I remember telling Chris, I was like, "Hey, I want to do a backflip out of the plane." Honestly, upon exit, I had no clue we even did a flip until I watched the footage. I remember watching the footage. I was like, "Oh, we actually did do a backflip out of the exit of the caravan." I was like, "Awesome!"
That's
This is cool.
Man.
Could hear the free fall. You know, it's like normal. The first few seconds, you're kind of like unaware what's going on with all the
the state of limbo, kind of.
Yeah, the sensory overload that's going on. But then after the first 10, 15 seconds, you kind of realize what's actually going on. You're like, "Oh, this is awesome. This is a lot of fun." You kind of relax. You kind of start to look around at the scenery. There was wonderful big clouds all around us. So it was kind of weird. It's like falling into this cave just surrounded by clouds.
That's awesome. Awesome.
It was awesome. It was the best skydive I could have ever done. And unfortunately, well, I don't want to say unfortunately, for the best of me, it ended up me being a part of a community that has now probably changed my life for the future and for the best, you know. So going into...
Can I interrupt you real quick?
Yeah.
How did your grandma take it?
My grandma, she said it was wonderful and she wants to do it again. Unfortunately, I loved the free fall more than the canopy ride, and my grandma, she just loved being on the canopy and just floating around and just seeing everything from above, kind of having that bird's eye view. And
the bird eye
view. Literally.
The bird's eye view. Yeah, the bird family has something going on somewhere in the genes. I guess we're meant to be in the sky. We all love it. She's actually been bungee jumping. I've never been bungee jumping.
I don't trust it either.
Dude, I can't get into that shit.
I couldn't do it. But, kind of furthering my...
So what happened... Okay, so you did your first skydive. You get on the ground. What were your thoughts there after you did that first tandem?
So my thoughts... Well, so... My first thoughts were the clouds. The clouds were amazing. I can't believe the clouds.
But yeah.
For some reason, just the clouds made a big impact on my life.
Well, you look up at them your whole life, you know, and then to finally be above them and amongst them, it's...
You better not be through them.
You know, it's such a different experience, you know, when you're finally a part of that aviation experience.
It is a different experience, you know, knowing that we live on a planet where there are floating blobs of basically water above your head all day, every day, most likely. And we sit on the ground and we look up at the sky. You know, some people look up at the sky and they look at clouds and they imagine what shapes they see, what animals they see, whatever their imagination brings. And for us skydivers, I feel like looking up at the sky, you know, we see a whole another world.
That's great,
being
though.
Able to share that experience with other skydivers, you know, it's something else that you can't get while you're on the ground. It's a lot more special and personal whenever you're actually up in the sky.
So, what was the moment you're like, "All right, I want to do this shit. This is who I'm going to be."
Oh, after the first jump, I was going to college. I didn't really have my future planned out going to college. I was just going to general studies, just trying to get the first 2 years done with. And it came to a point where I was like, you know, but maybe skydiving is what I should do for the rest of my life. So I was driving 8 hours every weekend. I would take off Friday, Saturday, Sunday. I would drive 8 hours to Madisonville, Texas. Go get as many jumps as I can. Sunday, I would leave late afternoon, and most of the times I would get home around 3-4 o'clock in the morning and have to go at work at 6 a.m. in the morning and go mow some commercial lawns and then go to school at around 8 o'clock for till about 2 p.m. and then go back to mowing commercial properties, you know. And I kind of decided I didn't really want to live that normal 9-to-5 or just normal career life. I kind of figured that, you know, maybe there's something better out there in the world that I can kind of focus on my energy to and kind of just increase the happiness to my day-to-day life and kind of surround my people with other people that are like me and share the same interest.
That's awesome.
Cut away.
Cut away. Yeah.
Dude, that's nice. Awesome.
Great movie. Great movie.
What canopy did you start on?
So, my very first canopy was a Saber One 150. Known for their miraculously hard openings. Everybody has to love them, you know. They're just...
You fly a Saber One, right? Feral?
I fly a Saber One 170 and a Saber Two 150.
Okay. Let me ask you something, Ryan. So, you did your tandem, and you started that process and mentally that's like, okay, this was an incredible experience. This is maybe something that I want to do, and you're in that transition phase, right? When you signed up for AFF, what was that feeling like? Who were you involved with? Because I know you and Tasha have a pretty close connection when it comes to that, because as she kind of talked to me about, she kind of worked you up literally from like the very, very start of AFF all the way through your license and beyond. So tell me a little bit about, it's like, okay, I signed up for AFF. I'm starting. Walk me through your whole process once you started AFF.
Going into the start of AFF, I really didn't know what to expect. And honestly, going up on that first AFF jump, knowing that I would be attached to a perfectly viable or a perfectly professional tandem or AFFI, you know, she took great care of me, but just the first moments of hanging outside of the plane and just feeling the wind hit your face and just like, you're almost so hesitant to even leave the plane. You almost don't want to. It's just, it's kind of, you give the count up, down, and then you're supposed to go out. But then most people, I feel like they tend to go up again, which is what I did.
That's what I did.
I had to have a double take on the
exit. It's that door monster, man.
The door monster will get you. But
yeah, how did the door monster feel for you? Did you have a big door monster? Monster.
Your door monster?
You know, I would say for at least the first few AFF skydives, I was fairly nervous. You know, I didn't know what to expect, you know, besides from a tandem, you know, when you're legitimately on your own, you're trusted from the exit, from the canopy deployment to landing on the ground. Yes, you are assisted, but you're basically taking that leap of faith that most people will never take, and you're putting yourself in that situation like, okay, this is real, this is now, I have to take control over my actions and my situations, and you need to focus.
Right.
But, you know, I'd probably say up until around jump number 8, I was probably heavily bombarded with the door monster. It's just kind of sitting there right behind your shoulder, just lurking you, and just like, okay, what are you gonna do now? Are you gonna jump? Or are you gonna stay in the plane and ride it back down? But you know, I thankfully, you know, with the good instructors and the good training that they give you, you know, most of the time you're able to actually take that giant leap of faith into what is just pure bliss and nothing but an amazing feeling and an environment to actually be in, and especially with being able to share it, even if you're sharing it with a fun jumper, an instructor, or a coach, even a tandem instructor. You know, the tandem instructors enjoy it just as much, just to get that first initial reaction, your smile, and just to get that reaction when you land on the ground and just see how you actually reacted and feel to it. It's just wonderful.
It really is big for everybody. You know, as the person who's doing it, that's obviously, especially for your first jump, that's a huge moment, because like you said, it's kind of like a leap of faith, and when you do it and you succeed at it, you know, that's an incredible moment and a very liberating feeling, especially once you touch down on the ground, like, wow, I just did that, you know, I did that personally. And then even for your instructors, like they're, you know, they're there with you and they're teaching you and whatnot. But to see somebody else do it is still, it's almost just as inspiring as doing it yourself.
Yeah.
You know,
yeah,
you're seeing absolutely. Somebody succeed in something that so few people will ever do. And, you know, they have just as much joy in it seeing you do so well and succeed at it. And that's, I feel like it's an incredible feeling all the way around. But no, you, that's awesome, man. You really brought up some awesome points. So you got through your AFF and whatnot. Walk me through, it's like you got your AFF at this point. Now you're on to your coach jumps and whatnot. Tell me what that was like. So you're a little bit more confident. Maybe you've passed that door monster a little bit. What was your mental state at that point?
Going into my coach course, coach rating, you know, I felt like I was genuinely prepared. I had luckily been surrounded by, of course, Tasha Hagem, Cruzy Turks, Chris Hoobs, a good tandem instructors and good AFF and camera flyers. And most importantly, honestly, I wouldn't be here today if it wasn't for Joe Fro. Some of y'all more experienced, some of you more experienced flyers that listen to the podcast or have just potentially ran into him while he's been traveling around drop zone to drop zone. He's a wonderful guy. He has tons of experience. He's a third generation skydiver, probably one of the best people you could ever learn from. He's
yeah, absolutely.
A great human being. He hooked me up with my first rig. I remember he came up to me and he was, "Hey, try this rig on." I was like, "Okay." I try on the rig. He was like, "Looks like it fits you pretty good." And he hooked me up with a good reserve, and I was like, "Okay, I'm good to go."
That's awesome.
Wow. And going forward, you
Joe
know,
Joe Fro.
Yeah, good old Joe Fro. He's the best human.
Him and Tasha are they're just such incredible human beings. They really are.
Well, they give life to the sport and they give life to others, you know?
They really, really do. You know, so big thanks and shout out to them for all that they do in the sport.
So when did you start your coach? What number were you at?
Oh, coach jump. I was probably, I want to say roughly around, you know, it was fairly close to a jump 100. Probably, I want to say it was probably around 100, 120 whenever I actually signed up for it. I was working, so actually jump 38 is whenever Joe Fro had offered me a job to start packing parachutes, and without a doubt I was like, yes, I'm all in. And so I quit college, I quit my commercial mowing job, and just dedicated my life to basically skydiving full time.
Hell yeah.
Basically,
that's awesome,
being
dude.
In the sport, packing, just kind of being surrounded with the environment, just kind of let me know, like, okay, this is something very interesting. You know, you have the students that are doing their AFF progressions. They bring you their parachute. You pack it for them, and then you actually end up teaching those students the packing class, and then they can learn to pack for themselves, which is just wonderful, because then you're able to teach a student how to pack their parachute and be able to trust their own work and it successfully open and be a safe, successful skydive throughout the whole process. But going into the coach course and kind of working in the sport, I kind of figured that I did have an inspiration of wanting to kind of further my education, but also further the education and information that can be obtained to the student by being able to transfer my knowledge to them to help them progress into the sport. You know, being a coach, it's definitely very fun. You know, you get to build the communications between the other fun jumpers and the relationships, which will then carry on from drop zone to drop zone. I've traveled to let's say Spaceland Houston whenever I was living in Texas, and I was able to run into previous fun jumpers previous students that I used to teach and do everything with, do all the fun jumps, do all the coach jumps with them, and I was able to run into them, and now they're crazy, they were crazy tunnel people, and now they're over here free flying, and I haven't even been to the tunnel with all my experience. I just haven't had the time. And just to even do it, I've kind of pursued just wanting to learn everything actually in the sky.
Yeah, I definitely hear what you're saying about running into other people at other drop zones and then just forming those relationships that span across the states. You know, it's great.
Yeah,
great feeling.
Definitely.
So one question, going back to the packing. When did you start packing? Who taught you to pack? What was it like learning how to pack? When did you start first packing tandems or mains or...
So, the first weekend I was actually supposed to start my AFF program, the weather was completely bad that whole weekend. So, I had driven the 8 hours, showed up at the drop zone, Tasha was there, and she was like, well, she's like, we can't jump, so we might as well start packing. So, I actually started packing before I even made my first jump. Wow. That's probably why I pursued packing as a entryway to becoming a full-time skydiver. It definitely opened a lot of doorways for me. But I was the student that started packing before I even made my first jump, and that led me to becoming a full-time packer. And then from a packer, I became a coach and then an outside videographer. And then I was the video editor along with doing all of that. It was just a wonderful, great experience.
And I really enjoy it because it feels like with skydiving, you can really move around. You can be fluid in the sport as a career as well. There's always something else you can learn and contribute.
There's always more opportunity out there.
Yeah, so, and there's so much opportunity for growth in different areas. And I love that because it keeps me, it's not static, it's not stagnant. It keeps me engaged into different activities.
Unless you're doing static line.
Yeah, there you go.
All right, so I got a quick question, and this is probably something we should have touched on a little bit. But how many jumps are you up to now, Ryan?
So right now, I currently obtain 522 skydives.
Okay. All right. Now, and kind of to transition, I know you've got some awesome video footage and everything, and you've talked about how you've been growing in the sport and whatnot and doing more and more. As far as I'm aware, you're into swooping, are you not?
Swooping. It wouldn't have been this way if it wasn't for Joe Fro doing his 1080s. Just being out at the drop zone, seeing Joe just come in. It was definitely something that was a big realization for me. I was like, there are these guys in the sport that are just willing to spiral the canopy straight to the ground at very high speeds and then level it out at the last second and just go into ground effect. And it just almost looks like they're just magically just like hovering over the ground right at you. And it's just something that you have to see to actually experience and kind of get like a grasp of what some of these swoopers are actually doing, you know. Now, I haven't been around a whole lot of like swooping competitions. I would love to actually go and maybe participate in one in a future event. You know, why not? Just kind of see what the human capabilities are able to do and just push all those limits. But definitely, pursuing swooping definitely was from Joe Fro. He's probably one of the best swoopers I've ever seen, if not the best. Why not say that?
So you started at a pretty low number too, right?
So about jump 270. I kind of wanted to make it a goal. I was like, I want to at least do a 270 by at least jump 270. You know, I'm not gonna lie, I was a little scared, so it was a hesitant.
That's a pretty bold goal.
I wasn't able to do exactly by 270, but a jump around, I want to say jump probably 290, 295, I committed to a 270, which was actually, from what Pat Barton said, he said I won the Golden Shovel Award. He said I dug myself out of that turd and I saved my life. Otherwise, if I wouldn't have pulled those toggles all the way down to full flare, I probably would have eaten the dirt, which would have not been good. But thankfully, with the magic of the parachute, it saved my life. And I was like, this is it. And I was like, I gotta keep doing it. I was like, I gotta perfect this, learn all the knowledge and information that comes with flying your canopy aggressively towards the ground and just being able to actually, you know, swoop safely and have a good time.
Well, I remember you were telling me about, like, What kept pushing you to keep working on it, or that people were, what were they telling you that was gonna happen?
So, me being the newbie at the drop zone that was just kind of working around, I was the guy that was like, I want to fly the HK-264, the smallest parachute that was available. I was the guy, I was like, oh, I can fly that, you know, knowing well that I didn't have the experience or knowledge to even safely land the canopy. I was just like, you know, why not? I might as well do it. And so, you know, I was, unfortunately, you know, I'm sorry, I didn't mean to say that. But, you know, so the people around me, they wanted the best for me. They genuinely told me, they're like, you're going to be the one that goes in. And I was just like, okay. So I took that to heart. So I decided, I was like, you know, I'm going to make the responsible decision. So probably for the next 150 jumps, I did as many high pulls as I could just to learn the 90 degree turns, how much altitude I was losing, how long the recovery is going to take for the parachute that I was flying, or going into 270s. I would practice doing 270s over and over and over again and doing high pulls, just calculating how long, what altitude, how much feet I was losing between each turn I was doing, and then eventually transitioning that whenever I was getting low to the ground. And eventually I found my sweet spot, and then that was it from there. And once I found my sweet spot, I was like, okay, so doing a 270, I was like, okay, I'm going to do it at this altitude. I'm going to turn here and I'm going to do this. And from there, I was able to actually kind of perfect it and get to it. I mean, I'm nowhere near perfect, and there's a lot of stuff I can learn. It would probably be nice to kind of have a mentor or coach to kind of teach me more about what I need to do and how to perfect my skills. But as far as where I am today, I'm highly, highly satisfied from being the kid at the drop zone that everybody thought was going to go in, to being the guy that was able to successfully learn how to start swooping and do it in a safely manner, but yet very fun and almost dangerous manner, you know?
Yeah, so when you talk about that sweet spot, that's almost like a sight picture, right? You see this spot that looks correct. Am I kind of close on that?
Yeah, you know, it's like, you know, you can always be low, which is never good. You know, turning low can into certain accidents, if
just
not
ask Jimmy.
Fatal accidents. Oh, poor Jimmy. I've been there too. I actually had a low turn accident, jump 147 on my first night jump. I probably turned around 100, 150 feet Stiletto 135.
Oh,
just
man.
Toggle whipped it straight into the ground and ended up dislocating and fracturing my hip. But after a 4-month recovery, I made it back down to the drop zone, got my job back, and continued the progression forward on making sure I could be as aggressive with my canopies and as safe as possible.
That's commitment, man.
Yeah, that's some dedication, for sure.
Most people, I would say, would give up, you know, especially with an injury like that. That's big.
Or close, when you come close to death like that, that's oof.
Yeah, and that's, I mean, I'm sure it's a humbling, you know, experience for you, but that's, you know, the fact that you went through it and you got through it and you're like, this is still what I want to do. That's really awesome.
How do you think that really, like, did you notice yourself, like, changing as a person as you got into skydiving, as you started swooping, doing more shit like that?
You know, outside of swooping and everything, you know, just, I think I did change, you know, it opened my eyes, you know, to kind of be more of a humble person. It kind of, it's like, you know, you hear driving your car is more dangerous than doing a skydive, you know. It's like, well, then you think about it, you actually take a step back and think about, like, when I'm driving your car, or when you're driving your car, you're surrounded by thousands, if not hundreds of thousands of people you run into every day when you're driving, and there's so many different possibilities for something to go wrong. And then you get into skydiving and you have this idea where you're like, yeah, this is very dangerous, but then through practice and good information and knowledge, it becomes a fairly safe sport. And, you know, I think just realizing that, you know, you actually physically throwing yourself out of a plane kind of allows you to kind of open your mind to new possibilities. It's like almost like you can do anything. You can
yeah,
it kind of transfers over to your real life on the ground, you know. It's like, okay, if I'm willing to go on the count of three and throw myself out of a plane, why can't I go on the count of three and pursue my other dreams and aspirations on the ground, you know? Why can't I, if jumping out of a plane on three is so easy, and committing to something, to a dream or a job or something, can be so hard, you know? All you have to do is just take a deep breath, count to three, and just kind of take that step forward to whatever you have your eyesight on and just pursue it.
I think that relates a lot to courage, because with me, mm-hmm. it definitely translates into real life for having courage to do something.
Yeah.
Overcoming that fear, you know, that's where that courage really comes in, and I can grab a hold of it, and I can use it as a tool now.
Yeah, we were talking about that the other night. We were out at the Dark Roast in Chattanooga, and there's this girl. I thought she was the cutest thing ever, and I was just so nervous, and I was like, I can't talk to her. I don't know what to say. I don't know what to talk about. And I was like, had I done a skydive that day, yeah. I probably would have had no problem going up and talking to her.
You know, I feel like, and I'm sure the four of us, you know, would agree, like, when you do skydiving, and the more you do it and whatnot, and you get past that door monster and everything, what it does for you as a person is it just opens up so many doors, because you just, you know, it's like you can get through that fear, that initial fear of that goes against everything you learn as you're growing up. You know what I mean? When you do your first skydive, you really throw out all caution to the wind, essentially. You know, like Ryan said, you're really doing a leap of faith. And when you can get past that and you can continue doing it, it really, really translates to everything else in life, to where it's, you know, if I can do this, I'm a skydiver. If I can do that, then I can do anything else in life.
And it's like the door monster. If you don't keep regularly doing it, it comes back. That
it
fear.
Definitely builds back up. And I think every one of us would agree with that. If you don't do it, you know, regularly, it will build back up, and it'll give you that fear. And
it's that tool that you're not using of working with courage to overcome those fears.
Right.
And that's why a lot of people, like, go from, after becoming sober, they start skydiving.
Right.
It's a good substitution for that kind of lifestyle. Or, you know, you can go crazy. You can go hard after you get into skydiving.
But, you know, it's realistically, like, what skydiving, I think, did for at least the four of us, you know, is it really, really liberated us from everything else. And because of it and what we do now every day and every week, it's, you know, what else is there? What do we have to fear? You know what I mean? There's nothing
but fear itself, right?
Yeah, exactly. Exactly.
Well, this guy's about to start liberating other people on a daily fucking
basis. Okay, so that's a really, really good transition, Ryan. you've got over 500 jumps now, and we know you're wanting to do big things in the sport, and you've really, really dedicated, you know, what seems like your whole life to it, which is such an incredible thing, but we know you have more goals and aspirations to it. Where are you at right now in skydiving? Because I know you're doing some classes and whatnot. Where is it you're looking to go to here real soon? What are you doing?
So, tomorrow I actually start my tandem instructor course, which is something I've been looking forward to a long time. Actually, since the first time I took my first tandem with my 73-year-old grandmother, I kind of made it in a dream to be able to take my own grandmother on a skydive, because she shared such the great experience going with me. Why not be able to take my own grandmother on a skydive and share that experience with her, you know? And along with, I would love to take my mother, my father, my brother. He's like, hell no, I ain't jumping out of
with you.
You're crazy.
But, you know, and it's like, once I started the progression of skydiving and just having conversations with their family and friends, you know, they were like, oh, are you going to ever take me skydiving? And I would always tell them yes. And they would be like, how long? And I'd be like, give me at least 3 to 4 years. And, you know, up to this current point, it's been the 3 to 4 years that I always told everybody. Just everything kind of always fell into place. It's kind of just been along that nice road, and everything's just kind of thankfully and luckily fallen into place for me. You know, I've been surrounded by the right group of people, the right people that are trying to teach me the correct knowledge to be able to make a safe and successful skydive. And not only I'm going to be a trusting wizard to be able to teach me the right knowledge and information to be able to potentially save my own family and friends on a good old skydive. And, you know, I just can't wait to share that experience with all the close loved ones that I've grown up with. You know, I mean, I don't think there's anything more special than being able to share a once-in-a-lifetime experience with someone, you know, when we only genuinely only have a certain amount of limited time on this earth as it is.
That's so awesome, man. That's so awesome. All right, so continuing on that, where do you see yourself in the next, like, 5 to 10 years?
Throwing drugs, baby.
With a pool of cash.
Right. No, that's awesome, man. And, you know, that you really, really see yourself continuing in the sport and wanting to do that and continue to do that. It's really such an incredible. And honestly, like, for me, especially being so young into jumps and whatnot, like, it's very, very inspiring to see that.
Oh, so for me, I definitely want to get into swooping, you know. Mm-hmm. I'm, for the next 100 jumps, I'm going to be working on my front riser maneuvers, doing straight ins, 90s, figuring out how much... you know, feet I lose, and, like, Ryan's definitely been an inspiration.
And,
to
like, keep in mind, Ryan is the youngest of the four of us here.
And he's...
Oof. Yeah, so keep that in mind. Ryan here is the youngest of all of us, and yet he seems to... I mean, not necessarily more than Farrell, but... Because Farrell's got more jumps than... And Farrell's done so much incredible stuff.
We all have experience in our own right, right?
So, but, yeah. Like, for Ryan, as young as he is and as young as he got into the sport, he's doing such incredible things in the sport, and it's so incredible to see. And honestly, it's really, really inspiring, especially for newer jumpers
like us. Yeah. Sub 100.
It's even inspiring for me. I mean, I mean, he's done a lot of things I haven't done, and it's great to get to hear his story.
Yeah, and that's what's great about the sport. And you know, in skydiving, there's always going to be somebody better than you, whether they're older or younger. There's so much information to learn, whether it's you know, coming from somebody who's younger, newer, or older. You know, everybody's got a different experience with it and different knowledge. And it's, as you grow into the sport, there's so much you can learn and so many different paths you can take on it. And for us to hear Ryan's story here, especially as young as he is, it's so incredible to hear that and hear all that he's done in it and all that he wants to do with it. And honestly, I'm really happy that you came here to Chattanooga and that we get to be a part of your journey and that you're here with us now. It's really great, man. So
yeah, getting to become your friend, man. You're an amazing guy, and it's so awesome. Come out and jump with Ryan. Jesus.
I don't want him back at poker though, because he stole all my damn money.
All in. Woo.
Send it.
All right, so before we kind of get to closing out, I have one question for you, and this kind of has to some notes that you have. I see here you have something that says seek discomfort. Can you tell me a little bit more about that? Because that to me means a lot, because I've talked about this a little bit in previous podcasts. But what does seek discomfort mean to you?
Seek discomfort means to me, you know, every day we get the chance to wake up, take a new fresh breath, step out our front door of our home shed and be able to go out in the world. And what else is there to do excited explore the areas that you've always wanted to explore, the dreams that you've always had the passions to perceive and do? You know, seeking discomfort to me is like, why not take that extra step into the discomfort and experience what it's like whenever we only have a certain amount of limited time? Because with the certain amount of limited time we have, if all you do is surround yourself with comfort, you'll never, in my opinion, you'll never progress as a person. If you put yourself into these different situations to where you're able to actually learn and kind of progress your human mentality, your human relations that you make with other people, you know? I mean, going up to another skydiver and just introducing to yourself, asking them if they want to do a jump, there's a little discomfort involved, but there's a little discomfort in possibly talking to a relative that you haven't talked into forever, maybe thinking that you've regretted something or whatever. Well, screw the regret, you might as well go into the discomfort and just kind of embrace it, and most of the time there's always a happy road on the other side of it. You know, you're gonna build those more connections and the more relations that come with it. And I don't know, discomfort is stupid. No one should ever feel discomfort, because in the situations of discomfort there's always comfort on the other side.
You're having to adapt, though. You're pushing yourself to adapt.
And
to progress.
I mentioned this in a previous episode. There was a wrestling coach that I had in mind, and his whole mentality was, you have to be comfortable being uncomfortable. And I think, you know, what Ryan said, I think honestly perfectly sums it up. Everything he just said is incredible and absolute words of wisdom. So Ryan, thank you for that. Seriously, that's
awesome, awesome stuff. And I couldn't agree more. And I think
I fucking relate. It's just that was so hard for me, reaching out to people and talking to people out of DC like that, until you just fucking do it, and then you're going up to everybody. It's candy, you
know? And the community itself, too, you know what I mean? The skydiving community, I feel like they make it a little bit easier because everybody's so in it together.
Yeah, especially when you're skydiving, too.
Yeah, yeah, and, you know, it's just such a great community, but everything Ryan just said is so on point, and I'm so glad that you said it, because you just made some incredible points. And, you know, before we close it out, Jacob's got a shout-out that we're going to do.
Yeah, so I wanted to go ahead and talk about, actually, one of my best buddies.
Good friend of ours that we jump with.
Bud Kirk. So we're going to
crazy
go ahead and,
fucker.
Oh, this guy's fucking insane. He's a great guy. He's actually... he's out in Iran right now.
Iraq. He's in Iraq. Terrible. He's ex-military, but he's a military contractor right now.
Yeah, but his Instagram is BuddyLove42. That's BuddyLove42. 42. He has some awesome skydiving videos.
Also known as the Rim Reaper.
Oh, yes, the Rim Reaper. Yeah, he has some amazing skydiving content.
Check him out on Tinder.
Yeah, but we've done some amazing jumps together.
Yeah,
this
we've had a lot of fun jumps.
He's the one
who's
kicked me in the dick. Yeah, so
we've talked about him quite a bit, but he's a great guy.
I wanted to officially shout him out. Check out his Instagram. Come jump with him.
Yeah,
seriously,
he gets back. I want to say it's April sometime when he gets back into the States. But great guy. Give him a follow. He has got some awesome content. And we want to thank Ryan Bird here, Mr. Admiral Burns, for coming out with us tonight and doing a great episode. Man, thank you so much for coming out with us.
Bird out. Ka-ka!